calling the meeting to calling the meeting to order at 1 p.m. Would you all please rise or for Meredith to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Meredith.
You're welcome.
Okay, Patty, are you going to call roll?
I will. Linda Cardoza?
Present.
Meredith Chalamy?
Present.
Susan Doback? Not here. Sherry Geyer? I saw Sherry online. Sherry, are you here?
Yeah, she's muted and she's on the phone.
Okay. Margaret Huang? Absent, okay. Elizabeth Jimenez? Absent. Crystal Miles?
Present.
Patty Mouton is present. Anne Moudry?
Present.
Bill Orland? Barbara Sloat?
Present.
Dave Sullivan? Jerry Chang?
Present.
Irene Martinez.
Hey, Patty, I think Phil Orland is excused for health reasons. He's on a leave of absence.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Very well.
Okay. Thank you, Patty. I would like to just briefly go over our ground rules again. We'll keep doing this till we get it right, sort of thing. But let me just say, there are many topics of interest to seniors. We're an advisory body to the Orange County Board of Supervisors on matters affecting seniors. So the topics discussed in our meetings are topics that are within the purview of the board, topics that don't fall within this area of responsibility should be discussed at other organizations. Everyone's invited to participate. No one or two individuals should dominate a discussion. One person speaks at a time. Listen to and respect the other points of view. So thank you for listening to my small speech here. So I would like to introduce our guests, and we have one guest today, Carrie Keene. And Carrie, there she is. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Carrie, would you tell us who you are representing?
Yes. So thank you for having me to the meeting. I'm really pleased to be considered for participation on the committee. I am currently involved in a small nonprofit in Orange County that provides free exercise programs and wellness for people with Parkinson's. And we started out in Southern Orange County and are slowly expanding to Central and Northern Orange County, depending on our budget, our resources, and the availability of instructors. So we currently have about 12 classes that we run every week at the local YMCA in Laguna Niguel, as well as recently, within the last few months, the YMCA at the Newport Mesa location, which is sort of at the back bay of Newport. And we are in talks with the city of Fullerton. There's a YMCA there. And so we're just gradually moving our way up to, so that we can provide easy access to classes. And these are offered, again, no charge to our participants and their care partners.
Great, okay. Can, this? You're the first person since I have been chair to apply to join our committee. So do I need a motion or a vote? No. Everyone in favor of having Carrie join our Wellbeing Reimagined?
Barbara, this is Jenna. So this is not listed as an action item. So, so unfortunately, there is no vote necessary. And for the bylaws, the executive committee is actually the one who approves the recommendation. So I assume at the next executive board meeting that takes place next week or the week after, that her appointment will be considered.
That is correct, Jenna and Barbara, that we will do that at our exec meeting.
Okay,
and I don't see a problem with it, but that is our process, Carrie. So just be patient.
Sounds good. Yeah. Sounds good.
Happy to introduce you, Carrie.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay. Now we are having, there's Linda. Okay. Oh, you're right next to me, Linda. Oh, okay. Presenting. Linda Cardoza will be talking about Medicare and what's new in 2022. Linda?
Hi, Barbara. So hopefully you can see the cover slide. I've got some technology issues on my end, so hopefully that's okay.
Yep, we're fine. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you for the introduction and thank you for including me on your agenda in the program today. This is a really important topic. This Medicare open enrollment began last Friday and there are some changes as we go into 2022. So I think it's very appropriate, a very important topic, not only to those of us that are Medicare beneficiaries, but for whoever we interact with that are Medicare beneficiaries, whether it's a family member or if we're a caregiver to a friend, we definitely want to make sure the word gets out that this is an important period of time. And so we'll chat a little bit about that. So thanks very much again for including me on the agenda. So we are going to talk just really basics about Medicare, and then we're going to specifically talk about what's going to be different as we move into the new year. Oh, okay. So I think most of you know who HICAP is and who we are not. We are definitely not agents and brokers. We do not sell product. We are not allowed to endorse or recommend any type of insurance product. We are here to provide information. We're state and federally funded. Our contracts actually are administered by the Office on Aging. And the whole goal is to be able to provide information to individuals so that the individuals make well-informed choices. We do get asked a lot of times, you know, if I was your mother or if I was your dad, what would you recommend for us? And we really can't, but we can certainly help individuals narrow down their choices. We're very fortunate, or maybe not so fortunate, here in Orange County that there are a lot of options available to individuals. And so that does lead into a bit of complexity, but the fact that we have choice is always a good thing. So we are here to help work through that and help navigate through that Medicare maze, just to help individuals that do need that assistance. So we're pretty easy to get a hold of. I mean, I'll have a contact page at the very end, but this is an easy way. Most folks receive the Medicare and You booklet. If you have the Southern California edition, then you flip it on the back cover. Right in the middle, you're gonna see that Ship for California is California HICAP, Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program, and that is the statewide number 800. And on the last slide, I've included our local number, which is a 714 number, and we are based in Irvine. So we're pretty centrally located. So today we're gonna be talking about Medicare, why open enrollment is important, some of the changes as we look into next year, specifically as it relates to standalone prescription drug plans, the Medicare Advantage plans. Here in Orange County, it's either going to be an HMO or a PPO. We don't have some of the other types of Medicare Advantage plans. Some of the considerations, resources for help. We always have to talk about Medicare fraud and abuse during this period of time because it is so active for agents and brokers because we're looking at plans and individuals comparing plans and potentially making changes. So we definitely need to address that. And if we have time, we obviously have questions. If we don't have time, I'm certainly available outside of this session to answer any questions that you do have. So I want to just kind of level set everybody. It helps to know where we're talking about. So if there's a little bit of a difference in terminology, we get to it pretty quickly so we can talk about what is different. And if I do use too many acronyms, I try to catch myself on that. Just let me know and just ask me, what does that really mean? So AEP is annual election period. Sometimes you'll hear it called annual enrollment period. And we internally do call it AEP, but it's open enrollment. So whenever we talk about Medicare coverage, individuals that are Medicare eligible, that are Medicare beneficiaries, receive their Medicare coverage one of two ways. So there's a solid line between the two because they don't cross. They are individual paths or methods. The first one is the traditional or the fee-for-service Medicare that's often referred to as original Medicare. Folks have Part A and B through Medicare. They purchase a standalone prescription drug plan from a private insurance company. And to help fill the gaps, the parts that Medicare doesn't cover, the costs that Medicare doesn't cover, individuals will purchase on the market from private insurance companies a supplement plan, a Medicare supplement plan. A lot of times we'll hear it called a Medigap plan, and some folks will just call it a gap plan. It covers the gaps that Medicare doesn't cover. So here an individual is working with Medicare, a private insurance company that has a prescription drug plan, and then usually a different private insurance company that has sold them the supplement plan. The second path that individuals can receive their Medicare coverage is Medicare Advantage. And this is where you'll hear it sometimes called Part C, but most of the time someone will say, I have an HMO or I have a PPO. Those are the Medicare Advantage plans. And these are bundled plans that individuals will purchase from a private insurance company that includes their Part A benefits, their Part B benefits. And here in Orange County, all but four plans include prescription drug coverage. And you're probably thinking, well, why would somebody buy a bundled plan without prescription coverage? And that's because some folks may get their prescription drugs through, let's say, the veterans, through their veterans benefits, and they don't feel like they need to have a separate prescription drug plan. So then they just have the Medicare Advantage plan that will cover their hospital and their outpatient, if you will. So A is hospitalization coverage. Part B is all of the outpatient, inpatient, outpatient, hospital versus all the other types of care a person's going to receive, whether services or treatment, that's going to be more in an outpatient basis. So this is important to understand because what is highlighted or what's circled or squared off in red is what we look at during Medicare open enrollment, during the AEP, the annual election period, annual enrollment period. In the first grouping under original Medicare, it's going to be the standalone prescription drug plans. And for Medicare Advantage, it's the bundled plan. So that is when you hear all the advertisements or you see all the advertisements on the television, or you're getting mailings in. If you happen to be a Medicare beneficiary, you're going to see all these mailings coming in from insurance plan. It's going to be either on prescription drug coverage or it's the bundled plans. Probably wondering, well, what happens with supplement? Do we have the opportunity to make a change during this period of time? The supplement plans, it really depends on a person's birthday because the ability, if you will, the annual enrollment associated with supplement plans is a 60-day window right after the person's birthday. So if the person's birthday is in the fall months, then obviously this would be something else we would look at, but it's going to be throughout the year. So it's not necessarily during open enrollment. It is really prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans. So why is open enrollment to anyone that is a Medicare beneficiary? And this is the one opportunity you have during the year to review your coverage, take a look at what it's going to look like next year and then make changes, but only if you want. Do you have to make a change? No, you don't have to make a change unless, obviously, if the plan is being discontinued, then you do need to take some action there. But it is an opportunity to review the plan, similar to what we do with our property insurance, our vehicle insurance. We're always going to be looking at that every year when it's up for renewal. Do the same thing for healthcare coverage. There might be other plans that are a better fit for you. Maybe your budget situation has changed. Maybe your health needs and your medical situation has changed. So you always want to take a look at it. And once again, look at it, walk into next year, eyes wide open. If you want to make a change, you have that opportunity. If you don't, you don't need to make a change. And then keep it in mind with plans, the benefits and the costs can change, but drug formularies, regardless of whether it's a standalone prescription drug plan or it's a Medicare Advantage plan, drug formularies change, the costs change, co-payments, co-insurance, the tiering structure could change. And then of course, healthcare providers can either add plans to what they would accept, they can remove plans, as well as pharmacies. They can be in network or out of network. So a lot can happen year to year, and you just want to understand what's happening with your specific plans. So during open enrollment, there are a number of different changes. If somebody has a Medicare Advantage plan, they can certainly change to a different one. All of the changes would be effective January 1. Open enrollment will end on December 7th, so it began last Friday, and we are in the throes of that now. So we see a lot heavier call volume now, and we see a lot more questions and requests to help compare plans. Individuals that have a standalone Part D prescription drug plan can also change to a different plan, but they can also change. When I was describing the two paths, and I said there was a solid line. You can't cross the line, but you can change. And this is an opportunity to make that change. But this is one where it takes a little bit more discussion. And we want to make sure that you understand all the implications of a change if you're really changing from original Medicare to a Medicare Advantage, or if you're going from Medicare Advantage to original Medicare. But you do have that opportunity to make changes. So what are we seeing as we look at 2022? So this is a little bit more detail on the landscape. Some of it might be of interest to you and some of it may not, but let's just go through some of this really quickly. With the prescription drug plans, these are the standalone prescription drug plans. The one thing that we are seeing as we're looking at 2022, and that's plan consolidations. And they're very specific to certain insurance companies. One is Anthem Blue Cross. Express Scripts is another one. And then the other one was Health Net. So Health Net plans all got consolidated into what's now called WellCare by Health Net. So where we had a number of plans this year, those plans actually come off of our list next year because they've been consolidated. And when plans are consolidated, existing plan members are mapped. They're automatically mapped to another prescription drug plan that that insurance company offers. It may be to the benefit of the individual or it may not. And that's where the plan comparisons come into play. And I'll share that with you in a minute. So some of the plan names did change, and we're seeing some significant changes in premiums as we go into the next year. Unfortunately, most of those are increases in plan premiums. We're also cost sharing changes. Cost sharing would be cost co-payments, co-insurance. We're seeing some increases there depending on the drug and depending where in the tier structure that particular drug rests. So lots of changes with prescription drug plans. With the Medicare Advantage plans, we're not seeing the dramatic changes in the drug coverage that we're seeing in the standalone plans. We do see an increase year to year in the number of available plans. So we had quite a few in the past. We are going to have even more as we go into next year. There have been a few plan changes as well as premium changes, deductible changes. And unfortunately, one plan in Orange County is sanctioned. And that essentially means that that plan cannot accept new members. You won't see it on any of the listing, but the folks that are already on the plan will continue. So we'll just have to see what ends up happening at the state and the federal level as it relates to that plan and whether or not they're going to be able to work through their issues.
Can you tell us the name of the plan, Linda?
Of course, Golden State.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and that's predominantly in Northern OC, and Golden State has two plans here in Orange County. One is a regular Medicare Advantage plan, and the other is a special needs plan. Both of them are Medicare Advantage plans. And then, of course, for those of you that really like to do your research on your own and you've been into the Medicare Plan Finder tool, there have been a number of upgrades. A lot of them are good in terms of the display on your monitor, as well as what it looks like when you print it out. So good changes there, but that's also the tool we use on behalf of clients. So if you don't really want to deal with it, you just call us up and we'll do all of that for you and just either email or mail you the results with the explanation of that. So let's just talk let me just come back here for a minute. So some key plan documents. There are two documents that are really important to everyone. One is the annual notice of change, which should have come to any Medicare beneficiary with any type of plan last month. That should have been the first clue as far as what's going to be happening as the individual goes into next year. If they elect to make a change, they can. And if they do nothing, what their numbers are going to look like next year. The evidence of, so the ANOC, the annual notice of changes, maybe only about 20 pages long. It's just a summary of the changes for the next year. The evidence of coverage is not necessarily mailed out to beneficiaries any longer. It is available. If you want to see that, you can ask the plan to mail it. This one is probably 200 to 300 pages long. That is a document that we definitely download. So if you want to know any particulars, this is going to go into a fair amount of detail of any plan benefit coverage. Everything is going to be in that document. It is not always easy to find on an insurance company's website, but if you really want it, we can kind of help you navigate through that if you don't see it right away. And of course, you can always request a hard copy. Some plan websites are a little bit more friendly than others, but I will say this, for us to be able to explain some of the benefits that are in the Medicare Advantage plans, we have to look at the evidence of coverage because we won't see it on the Medicare government website. We really need to look at the details in the plan. Two key documents. Hopefully anybody that has a plan has already looked at the ANOC. They already know what types of changes they can expect to see in their plans for next year. So with prescription drugs, this year we have 32 plans available. And as a result of all the consolidations, we have fewer plans available next year. The one I mentioned earlier was Anthem Blue Cross. There's a change there. So they eliminated one plan and consolidated into the MediBlue RX Plus. Express Scripts is another one. They actually mapped all of the plan members that had an Express Scripts coverage. One of the plans under Express Scripts were mapped to Cigna. That's actually one company. They were mapped to Cigna plans. And like I said, sometimes that was a good change, sometimes not. I have one client that I talked to this morning who has a plan this year that the premium is $26. Next year, that premium goes to $92 because of how they got mapped. But there are other plans that have that person's drug on the formulary at lower costs. So we're looking to help that individual make a different decision. WellCare, I mentioned, they had some plans that got deleted, and then HealthNet is being renamed there. There is an increase in a deductible, and as you'll hear me say in a minute, deductible is not the only thing to think about if you're looking at any type of a plan, because a deductible may or may not apply to your particular drugs. But I think the most important thing that we can say to anybody is just understand what the impact is. And if you're acceptable of that impact, then you're set. And if you're not happy with that impact and you see a significant increase, this is the time to really review those plans. And for standalone prescription drug plans, I just mentioned about the annual notice of change is just to really understand what those changes are going to be and whether or not you're okay with those changes and do they meet your needs for next year. They may or may not, whether it's budget or whether your health situation changed and your prescription, the number of prescription drugs is lower or higher. That's going to have an impact on your budget also, and then whether or not there's changes in pharmacies and healthcare providers. So understand the cost structure for that particular plan. And that is not just a premium. A lot of folks will look and say, well, this plan is only $7.50. I want this plan. Well, that particular plan has a deductible. And without knowing what your co-payments are for that plan, that might not be the right plan. So making a decision just based on the premium or just based on the deductible, no. You want to look at your total costs because the premium might be higher, but your cost sharing, depending on what prescription drugs you have, could be a lot lower. So it's really looking at all costs, not just individual costs. The network of pharmacies is going to be important because sometimes you may be wedded to a specific pharmacy and it may or may not be in network, and you can get substantial savings by taking advantage of an in-network pharmacy for that particular plan. The plan's quality ratings, we do track that for the standalone prescription drug plans. There is one insurance carrier where their plans are rated under 3, and 3 is the mark that when it's under 3, we'll explain that to the client. The client can make a decision, and it's really trying to understand why their plan is rated so low. And there's a couple of different components that make up the quality ratings, but we definitely want to be able to look at that because that could be an indicator as to whether or not you're going to get good customer service from that plan. So the ratings run anywhere from 1 to 5. 3 is the cutoff point. Anything below a 3, we're going to monitor and make sure that we understand what's going on, but as well as the client. And then there are programs that can help individuals save money on prescription drugs. There are a number of those, and I'll come back to that in a few minutes. So these are different ways. They're not necessarily all programs. The biggest one, and I just want to highlight, this one says annual plan reviews in blue. This is the time to take a look at plans during open enrollment because it's not a painful process. It's a fairly easy process. You don't have to do a lot more work. You can get a lot of help there. But this is a time to really look at it. Look at your prescription drugs. Look to see what it's going to be next year. And if it doesn't work in terms of changing plans, there are other opportunities that we can take a look at that maybe would apply to you to help with offsetting the cost of those prescription drugs. We move on now to Medicare Advantage plans. Obviously, with most of the plans here in Orange County, there's also prescription drug coverage or component of the Medicare Advantage plans, but this is a little bit more complicated as we're working with clients because you've got the medical piece that has to be considered whenever a person is reviewing their plan and looking at potential changes. So the landscape here in the county is changing as we go into next year. We actually have 10 additional new Medicare Advantage plans, actually just the regular Medicare Advantage plan versus a special needs. So there's 10 new opportunities, 10 new options available. And with the special needs plans, that increased by 6. So when you look at the total number of Medicare Advantage plans we have in the county, it's like 95, which is a huge number, given that there are certain counties in Orange that are in California that don't have any Medicare Advantage plans, or they might just have 3 or 4. So this is huge. It's great because it offers the opportunity of choice, but it's not so great because choice leads to confusion and sometimes complexity. So the other thing that's really good for the beneficiaries here in Orange County is for the longest time, we've only had 2 Medicare Advantage plans that were PPOs. PPOs typically do have a premium associated with it. For this new year, we are have two additional. So we'll have a total of four PPOs, which is another opportunity to allow individuals choice. It's not on this particular slide, but the other thing that is new as we go into next year, we've always only had one five-star plan in Orange County. It's always been Kaiser. Next year, there are three additional five-star plans. So that offers some options to individuals throughout the year. If somebody feels like they really need to make a change and they don't fall into one of the defined enrollment periods or a special enrollment period, this gives them an opportunity if they're willing to go to one of the five-star plans. That is one more option that beneficiaries can have throughout the year. So I mentioned the special needs plans. These are fewer than our general Medicare Advantage plans. These are very specific to individuals with chronic conditions or those that may live in long-term care facilities. All of the plans offer some type of extra benefits. And by extra, we mean, if you think about that one slide where we had the two columns, the two ways a person can get Medicare Advantage or Medicare coverage, the first one was all about A and B and prescription drugs. The second one was a bundled plan. Well, with the bundled plan, and because these are offered by private companies, they are able to offer extra benefits that are not offered by Medicare. So it's items that are not covered by Medicare, such as vision, hearing, dental. So if somebody was under original Medicare, they may not have that same opportunity, but if under a Medicare Advantage, they may have these extra benefits associated with those plans. So I'll talk about those extra benefits just a few bullet points ahead. So in terms of considerations when one is looking at Medicare Advantage plans, certainly want to take a look at prescription drug coverage, because all of what we just talked about on prescription drug coverage applies to an individual with Medicare Advantage plan, assuming they also have drug coverage as part of their plan benefits. But we also have to all look at the medical side and the healthcare provider network. Individuals want specific doctors, medical practices, or they may want to be with physicians that are affiliated with specific hospital systems. So we want to take a look at that. And we would then, if an individual does say, I want this, you know, ABC medical provider, then we're going to take a look at what Medicare Advantage plans that particular provider accepts, that practice. And then that helps narrow down from 95 plans. Maybe we narrow it down to 10. And then we will look at those insurance carriers, which plans do they offer? And then what ones make the most amount of sense for that particular client in terms of cost, in terms of coverage on the prescription drugs. The extra benefits. And this is one, if you hear all of the advertising on television right now, you know, make sure you call the plan and there's all these benefits. Make sure you get all the benefits that you deserve and you're entitled to. But once again, you really need to understand particularly what that plan's requirements are. There are extra benefits. Those might be available to any plan member, such as hearing, vision, dental. Then there are some other special supplementary benefits that might only be available for individuals with certain chronic conditions. This is different than a special needs plan. These are special benefits that are offered to individuals that have a regular Medicare Advantage plan, but they may be diagnosed with specific chronic conditions. So some of the types of benefits we're talking about here could be transportation at a different level. It could be meal benefits, being able to have meals delivered when a person's been discharged from either a hospital or a skilled nursing facility to their home. Whatever's going to help them remain at home and not be readmitted into the emergency room. So we've seen a lot of this. We've seen over-the-counter stipends offered by some of these plans. We are also obviously fitness centers. Most plans offer that as an extra benefit. But the other thing we heard a lot more about over this past year, and we see more plans offering it as we go into next year, not all plans, it's certainly still a minority of the plans, and the Part B premium reduction or the Part B premium offset. So that number can be anywhere from $50 to over $100. And when, and this is one of the ones we see advertised quite a bit. So when someone calls saying, I want a plan with that, we obviously will identify the plans that have that benefit, but we also have to make sure that the individual really understands what their cost sharing is going to be on the medical side, whatever hospitalization, any of the Medicare related benefits, because even though it sounds very attractive to have $50 or $100 more per month in their Social Security check, if they end up spending all of that because they have high co-payments elsewhere or on their prescription drug, they've kind of defeated the purpose. So we want to make sure that they have the Medicare coverage, the prescription drug coverage, and then if they're interested in the additional, what else is important to them, and can we get them all of that in a plan that makes sense and works for them? So this one here, we do spend a lot more time with clients because there's a lot more considerations. And this year, going into next year, it's a lot more complicated because of all these extra benefits and beneficiaries being more aware of what plans could offer. So there's a lot in this area. So when you hear a lot of that, or you see that in some of the mailings that you're receiving, that's what we're seeing is that. But as you work with beneficiaries out in the community, please just make sure that whatever they do, that they at least look at their plan changes and that they're aware of if there are cost increases, they're aware of it and they're okay with it. Because if they're not, then they want to be able to do some comparisons to see if something else makes more sense. I think one of the things we find out over and over out in the community is the number of folks that don't really know what their Medicare coverage is, and that's when I'll ask them, do you happen to have your cards with you? Have them pull it out of their wallets and then explain to them what they have. A lot of people don't know. They signed up for Medicare when they were 65 and really aren't sure. Some have had the same coverage for the last 10 or 15 years. And those are the ones that aren't going to change very easily, even if we explain. But once again, it's their choice. It's what they prefer. There is another open enrollment. We just talked about Medicare Advantage plans, and this is new from last year, that there is a Medicare Advantage open enrollment period that is in January, begins in January, ends in March every year. So if for somebody totally missed during the fall open enrollment and they still want to make a change and they have a Medicare Advantage plan as of January 1, they have another opportunity to make a change. So they're very fortunate. Or if they make a change during fall enrollment, January, they just really don't like it, they have another 2 months to make a change, and that change will be effective the following month. This opportunity is not available to anybody that only has a standalone prescription drug plan. It is only for individuals with a Medicare Advantage plan. So what other things do we need to think about as we're looking at open enrollment, as we're looking at coverage? Some of the other key considerations for individuals that have Medicare and a different type of coverage. A lot of folks are still working, so they might have employer group health plans, which means they probably have deferred their Part B, so they're not paying double for that type of coverage. There are folks with retiree plans, folks that may be losing their jobs and are on COBRA. All of this comes into consideration as people look at making changes. They look at what do they have today. Another person I just got off the phone with a little bit ago is looking to retire and trying to understand what that means with a retiree plan versus maybe a Medicare supplement plan, a retiree plan with a Medicare Advantage plan, looking at veterans benefits and either type of Medicare coverage. So that it is a bit of a strategy discussion. It's really what's important to that individual, and then trying to come up with a solution that will work best for them. And then anybody that's looking at anything that, any type of coverage through an employer, through a union, any other type of coverage, is make sure that they always check with the plan administrator to see what the implications are, because if somebody drops a retiree plan, good chances they're not going to get it back. So they really want to walk into that eyes wide open, that they really understand what those implications are. So I mentioned earlier prescription drug costs and the high cost of drugs and some of the options that are available for folks to help reduce costs. There are also programs that will assist individuals with their Part A and Part B premiums, but all of these plans, including the program that will help with the offsetting the cost of prescription drugs, they are income and asset restricted. So there's going to be an income requirement and an asset requirement. The one good thing that's coming up as we look at next year, it's not going to be available in January, is we're going to see some of those asset numbers change. So more people will be eligible for these programs that may not have been eligible in the past. So we expect to see a lot of that towards the middle of next year and certainly as we get into 2023. So resources, I've mentioned our program, HICAP. We are state and federally funded, so our services are at no cost to anyone. We are the local arm, if you will, of CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. We have whatever it is you need. If we don't have it, we can certainly get it for you. So feel free to contact us with any questions, if you just want to do a plan comparison, if you just want to know what you need to be worried about as you think about next year, certainly give us a call. And we do have bilingual and multilingual individuals that can assist. So I see Meredith's hand up and I can tell that she has a question. So Meredith.
Well, Linda, this has been so terrific. I really value your expertise and HICAP. I don't know if it's the best time to ask this question, but you're mentioning, you know, your help, that it's free of charge, but I still think personally from my direct service experience that HICAP is a really wonderful organization that's a secret to a lot of folks still, older adults and professionals. So thinking from my lens of what our committee is trying to do, how do we help you get the word out more with our proposal? Because I think this is so key to people's well-being and health. And then is renaming HICAP part of that? I've heard that in state discussions because HICAP doesn't roll off the tongue. And if you got a lot more consumers using your services, what would that funding need be?
Yeah, and I can tell where you're coming from because I know what other hat you wear. So the answer is you're very right. Not a lot of folks know of us. I think if you think about the Medicare eligible population here in Orange County, it's probably about 500,000. And the number of clients we serve, you know, pre-pandemic was probably in the 7,000 to 8,000 range every year. So that's a relatively small percentage. But the other thing that's really important to understand is the demographics of our population. So we have, you know, this whole strata. You've got the folks at the very top that would never really contact us. Then you have the ones right below it that probably wouldn't. And the ones that are tech savvy and want to do things on their own. So we have that. So then we're left with the middle, the not so middle, and then the ones that might be Medi-Cal eligible. And there's where our challenge is. So,
and the brokers are with all of those people.
Yes, and that's another challenge too, because if you think about what happens out in the community. So
I see it.
What could the community do to help? I think anything we can do, we have the materials, any kind of awareness as folks go back into their communities or into the areas that they're representing and letting them know that there's a free resource that's available to them. We've been out a lot more in terms of awareness. Our baseline foundation is really the senior centers. So we're out there all the time with the senior centers and our partners that are various community-based organizations. But you're very right. HICAP doesn't even have the word Medicare in it.
No.
The state is actually looking at it, the California Department of Aging, yeah, which is the state agency that we are under, that is looking at how to do that name change. But we don't expect that to happen soon. The other thing about changing our name, because we are in state law, that means opening up statute. And what are the implications when you open up state law? And so there's a lot to be considered. But I'm open to coming out to any of your organizations via Zoom or in person, or coming out to groups if you're working with a residential community, anything to help publicize, we are out there and we would certainly do that and appreciate all of that. So if you have ideas, you know, let me know offline and certainly would love to pursue it.
Yeah. And then I guess that for our group, because we have to come up with these recommendations for the Board of Supervisors, what would that mean from a county partnership in terms of advertising, public awareness, possible funding?
Yeah. So funding comes from the state right now and from the federal right. and not necessarily from the county. But I think what could help there, once again, it becomes, well, the Office on Aging is sort of our partner. So anything, and if we can get that to work, but it's also the Board of Supervisors. So one mm-hmm. of the things that we know with the supervisors, they have the email blasts that go out every week. So we just developed one that's going to go in, and we've periodically put our flyers out there. On Friday, you talk about elected officials. On Friday, we're going to be up at Leisure World where Congresswoman Steele is hosting a fair, and we will be there again. And it was an interesting one. That one actually came in from the federal agency because federal, they asked for federal, and CMS then directed them to us as their local partner. So yeah, definitely a lot there. A lot. Can we do a lot more? Yes. And funding, I'll talk to you offline about funding because okay. I'm sure that's true. But this
I'm just very passionate about HICAP, and it really can make a huge difference when someone is on a fixed income but doesn't qualify for Medi-Cal, all these intricacies that you're talking about. And yes. so many older adults are on autopilot
yes.
15, 20 years later, and they're not having a plan that serves them well.
Yes. By the way, there's one other thing I didn't mention up front because it's a smaller portion of what we do. Even though I say we do Medicare counseling, we also have specifically trained counselors in long-term care insurance policies. So mm-hmm. that's a very specialized area. Mm-hmm. So if any of you, and we see fewer and fewer individuals with these LTCI mm-hmm. policies, and they're very, very expensive. So the one that we see the most of is CalPERS, because of all of the settlement issues and everything going on there. So if anybody does, if they have a policy and they receive anything from those insurance companies, it will state in there that they are to call us. So that's how we get that information, is we do show up in all the plans. So let me just get through the rest of the material. Yes. Because I'm watching the clock and I know I'm way over, right, Barbara?
So yes, and also slide number 24, Crystal Miles would like a copy of that. Or
yes.
could you make the whole presentation available?
I will definitely provide the content.
Okay.
Okay. And other resources, obviously, Medicare. Anytime I say Medicare, make sure it's the government website. It's not someone else's website. Right. It needs to be medicare.gov. The plans are a good source. This is just the Medicare website I mentioned earlier where you can go and look at plans, what we're going to do. Fraud and abuse, I do definitely want to talk about this because unfortunately, this time of the year, because there's so much activity going on with plans, we want to make sure that individuals know, and you would be surprised. No, you probably would be surprised. The number of individuals, when I ask them to show me their plan cards, the number that carry this with them all the time. And you do want to treat it as if it's your medical credit card and you protect it. And just remember, no one's gonna call. That Social Security is not gonna call, Medicare is not gonna call. Don't give out the information. And older adults are very trusting. And if the person sounds very sincere on the phone, oh, I trust them, I'm gonna give you. And all of a sudden that person's gonna be a victim. And if you do know of somebody that might have been, let us know. There is, please, no shame whatsoever. Just let us help them get out of that. And we do have partners like the Senior Medicare Patrol who will take over the tough cases as well as bring in law enforcement when it's necessary to make sure that we're doing everything we can to advocate for that individual and protect that individual and make sure that they have the benefits they need. I'm not going to go through.
Linda, Margaret okay. has a question for you.
Hi, Margaret. Yeah.
Can you please explain the donut hole, please? Thank you.
So that used to be a big deal in prior years. It is not so much anymore because of what happened with the Affordable Care Act. It's essentially gone away. So once an individual passes their deductible, they've paid their deductible, if that applies and they're off out of the initial and they pay the combination of the individual and the plan pays $4,330 for next year. That's a different number this year. They go into what's known as the coverage gap. And during that period of time, it doesn't matter what their co-payments are, they're going to be paying 25% of the cost, which is significantly lower than what happened in prior years when it was a lot higher. And depending on the cost of the drugs, they could end up coming out of the coverage gap and then they go into catastrophic coverage. There's actually a separate little chart, which I don't show because it gets very complicated. You're going down, up, down, up, down. And so I could actually share that with you outside of this group. So if it's something that you'd like to share with any, but the coverage gap is a lot different this year, as well as next year, than what it was in prior years. It's not as painful as what it was in prior years. And it's only going to really apply to individuals that have very, very expensive drugs.
Thank you. So it's improving. So what you're saying, it's improving.
It has improved dramatically. Yes.
Thank you.
So, thanks very much, everyone. This is our contact slide. So I will provide this to Barbara to send out. And thanks again for allowing me to share this information. And Barbara, I will turn this back over to you.
Linda, this is Desiree. Linda, if you'd want to send me the presentation, I can make sure to send it out to the group so that we can keep with the Brown Act and make sure that we don't get any group emails going. I can share that with everybody if you'd like.
All righty. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. That was very, very informative. Thank you so much, Linda.
Thank you very much. Excellent.
Yes.
Very well done.
Okay, item number 7, chair items. And I wanted to start off by thanking Anne and Nicolette for doing research on caregiving. They came up with a lot of information and it was so many things to think about with caregiving. And I have been thinking about our presentation to SCAC for the Board of Supervisors and have been speaking to Meredith about it because she came up with some ideas. And so what we'd like to do is share some thoughts that we had. We were really happy that we could speak to some people who were experts on the subject. So I'm going to turn it over to Meredith right now to talk about our conversations.
Thank you, Barbara. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you again, Linda. That was a great presentation. So Barbara and I had a Zoom with 2 staff members from the Orange County Caregiver Resource Center up in Fullerton. And we let them know about our committee, about SCAC, and about our new focus on caregiving that matters. And we kind of posed just the general question, what are the biggest needs that you see as experts in this area? And what do you see as the biggest needs? And so they shared with us that in-home respite care is the biggest need that they see. They have a lot of family caregivers calling them with needs for respite so that the caregivers themselves can go to the doctors, can attend a family meeting, can just get a break from their caregiving responsibilities. And as inflation has occurred and the number of workers available has gone down during the pandemic, they said that in-home respite care is now $30 an hour, which is the highest that they've ever seen it. And so they are offering intermittent support with grants to families with caregiving needs for respite care. And they average grant for a family is $2,500 to $3,000 a year that they can use whenever they have these medical appointments or they need a much needed break. They have over 900 current clients. Not everyone gets the same dollar amount. It's based on need and funding. And so one of the things that they wanted us to consider is, would we want to suggest the possibility of increasing the funding for this intermittent respite support as part of our proposal. The other thing that they said is that Orange County is in dire need for more social model adult daycare centers that are less expensive than the adult day healthcare centers and also are more available to seniors that don't have Medi-Cal. They mentioned a few like Mountain of Olives and Mission Viejo, Americana and Tustin, and a social day center operated by Meals on Wheels in Buena Park. And so one of the things that they suggested is that perhaps our committee, whoever is interested, could go on a field trip to one of these locations. And so I am happy to call Mount of Olives because it's closer to where I live and set up a date and send it out and see if anyone else would like to see what this looks like in action and find more about this social model and how it might be expanded and replicated in Orange County. They also talked to us a little bit about their curriculum on how to hold a family meeting to have caregiving discussions. And they are open to the idea of a partnership or some kind of support to create curriculum on how to have family caregiver talks. As Barbara put it in her email, the talk about what our future caregiving needs, what our current caregiving needs, so that the conversation is less taboo and more interactive and something that people are comfortable in having. So that's the snapshot of our conversation with the Caregiver Resource Center. They're happy to engage again, and they thought that their executive director might want to speak to us next.
Okay, thanks, Meredith. And I have the opportunity to speak to someone who was involved in starting a social model adult daycare center. And it was started at a synagogue. And I started thinking about it, that there are many churches in the area, faith-based organizations that are local. And if there could be a program set up at some of these centers, people don't have to travel as far, it's easier, and the caregivers can have respite too. So I spoke to someone at University Synagogue about their program. And it was started about 4 years ago, and they call it Bridges. It's an adult daycare center, a program. And it's run at the synagogue. And what's so interesting about it is that they run it 2 days a week, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. They serve lunch and two snacks per day. The cost is $75 per day, much lower than the $30 an hour. They have a paid staff of one gerontologist and one caregiver who handles the meals. And they actually, the Jewish Federation and Family Service of Orange County provided a counselor for the spouses of clients. And that program really helped them because the spouses bonded with each other. So that was, and they figured it out that they needed 10 clients to, so the money for 10 clients to sign up to cover the cost of the program. And what's so great about having it as at a house of worship or faith-based facility is because members have the ethos of helping. Many churches have seniors ministry, and there are volunteers available to enhance their programs with crafts, games, music, speakers, etc. I have a friend actually who volunteers there, and he's a former teacher, and he goes there with the daily newspaper and has discussions with the clients. And their program is open to, let me get it right. I don't speak your speak yet, so. they are, the program is for mild to moderate memory loss and cognitive decline. And again, the program was suspended because of COVID, because they were concerned about the health of caregivers and you know, the people there. So I'm not sure when they're going to be starting it up again, but it's a very doable model for a social program. So,
Patty.
One thing to also keep in mind is almost all adult day healthcare centers also offer a social model program that's a little bit less than the healthcare model, but it happens right under the same roof. So that's something to make sure people are aware of, that they don't have to opt in for the healthcare model at an adult daycare.
Okay. Yeah.
But so, I love the idea, and the Mount of Olives program is excellent. I think every church ought to do one, and figure out. One thing that I don't know enough about yet is how social programs are licensed, right. And whether or not they have to be licensed with the same rigor as, I know they don't have to go through the same hoops as the healthcare program, but if we could maybe get somebody to talk with us about how social programs get licensed, mm-hmm. and everything that's involved, then maybe it could be turned into like a little turnkey kind of program that a
like
church
a toolkit
might be willing.
Or something.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And they might be willing to do it as a pilot and just see how it went.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll go back and ask. Gail Reisman is the person who set it up at the University Synagogue. And there may be an answer to that. I don't know that answer, but
we can ask Mount of Olives too, and whoever wants to go take a look meets with them.
I would love to go with you on that field trip, Meredith.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Who else would like to go?
I definitely.
Awesome. Good. Okay. We'll make it a date.
Okay.
I will go to Tustin. Susan Doback. I am close to Tustin, and I'll try and set up an appointment there and see what I can find out there.
Oh, great. Excellent.
Okay. And are you folks in tune with us thinking about this might be just the thing to present to SCAC to present to the Board of Supervisors as a program?
Well, what would be amazing is if the Board of Supervisors wanted to give some funding to a group that would like to set up a pilot social daycare program. So yes, if we were going to do it in that context, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, I just might add, that is the only context that we use. Remember, this whole discussion, you need to end it with, so what is our recommendation to the supervisors?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Everything you discuss, so what is our recommendation to supervisors? It's not to ask for funding, it's for recommend that, okay, here's a program and they're looking for funding. That's up to them to say, great, this is what we're going to fund. So just keep in mind, that's our function, that we provide the supervisors with what the average person on the street, the average senior, what are their concerns? What are their issues? And I think, Barbara, I know you had a meeting with Elaine, and she laid that out very well. Remember, we are not subject matter experts. In fact, they don't want us to be subject matter experts. They want the average senior. What are the issues are you hearing out there? Give us some ideas what we can do, and then that's what we give to them. That's our recommendations to them. So just keep that in your focus.
Right. Oh, yes. Yes. I happen to know two of the women whose spouses were in this other program, and they said it was a lifesaver for them. It was 6 hours a day that they could do other things or just whatever it was needed. And so that gave them the respite they needed. So I think there's really value in that.
Would they be willing to kind of be profiled, like in a paragraph or two?
I will ask them. One is a judge.
Well, we don't have to use their real name or anything. It's just, I think that it always, for me, warms my heart and makes me more excited about programs when I can hear about someone's personal story.
Right. Oh, definitely. And I know Gail Reisman, it would be very happy to help us put together the give us as much information we needed to present. So I'm assuming, are we all in agreement with that, to pursue this particular? Okay. You know what really appealed to me about it is that it's local and people within the smaller communities can participate, and it seems like a win-win. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Anne, did you have something to say?
No, I was going on with the recommendation to SCAT, what you had said about RESPUS, the local areas.
Uh-huh.
And Mount Olive.
Uh-huh. Great. So Meredith, you will talk to Mount Olive and set up a date and time where we could do a site visit. And if anybody knows of another facility that's closer to them, find out what you can about it. I think that would be fantastic.
Well, South Shores Church does have different programs for seniors, like second halfers. One of them is Journey of Faith, but they also have playing games, coffee, and praying. But
yeah, well, yeah. So and so what we're looking
at, halfway there.
Yeah. right.
And they also have grief share, you know. Mm-hmm. This is the season when the leaves are falling and our friends are passing away.
Right. Yes. We're going to concentrate on those who are still here and making their
lives better.
Making their lives better. Yeah. I have one other bit of, I guess it's old business. We need a speaker for, we won't have a speaker in January because we'll be putting the finishing touches on our presentation for the, I lost a word. Workshop. I'm a senior. The workshop, I knew there was a word for it. And so in January, but we need a speaker for our February 16th meeting and also March 16th to be ahead. Does anybody have any recommendations? Anybody I can call that has a presentation about a subject that we haven't had anybody speak about in the last year? So, if you would think about that and let me know, I certainly would appreciate it.
So, and that was something that Phil Orlin was doing on behalf of this committee behind the scenes. So he would regularly come up with speakers and send the email and do all that work. So it would be wonderful if someone else would be able to do that at least 1 month at a time.
Definitely. So, okay. Item eight, announcements. Anybody have any announcements? And is there any, roundtable discussion? We already seem to have been doing that. Item nine is public matters. At this time, members of the public may address us regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, providing no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Anybody have
any? I have a question going back to the respite care, $30 per hour. And the grants are how much is it again? $25,000 or
$2,500.
Huh?
$2,500.
And where do you get the money? And is it repeatable? How long? I mean, does the grant, can you repeat getting another grant?
I believe that people remain in the program year over year as long as they're care providers to a loved one.
Yeah.
So once a year, you get a grant.
Variety of sources. I don't have that information handy.
Where is this grant from?
I don't know.
I'm just curious. And then the
I don't know.
I teach at Saddleback College, and for years we sent our students to Montevallis for geriatric community experience. They nothing students nothing raved about that Montevallis program for many many years. So
awesome!
I'm glad you guys folks are getting in looking into it.
Oh,
thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, Sherry. Sherry Geyer. You have your hand up?
Well, she's on mute.
Oh.
Okay, now I'm not.
Oh, good.
Are we on remarks or where are we on number 9 or number 8?
Well, do you have-
Okay, well, I'm just gonna say that Tustin is having a block party tomorrow from 4 till 9 o'clock. It's free to attend. There will be activities, live music, food, treats, and our senior center will have a booth there with information. And everybody is, I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm losing my voice. Everyone is welcome to come. It will be on, from Main Street, from First Street to Main Street, and on El Camino Real, right down through the heart of Old Town Tustin. It's put on by the Chamber of Commerce with lots of activities, face painting for the kids, and well, our adults too, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But we invite all of you to come.
Sounds okay, fun. Thank you. Sounds like fun.
Barbara?
I was just wondering whether you would like to invite Patty Mouton, because I just attended her last week, her end of life care. It was excellent. You know, she did it through Orange County Alzheimer's Association and a holistic approach to end of life care. And she presented an hour, and a webinar was excellent.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be in touch with Patty then.
So you may want to do it in March or something, because it was excellent.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, Margaret.
Barbara, I just want to jump in really quick and just let you know that we, going back to public comment, we did not receive any public comment requests via email. And if there are any members of the public present this afternoon that would like to speak during public comment, please use the hand raise icon or press *9 if you're calling in, and I will unmute you. We do have one public attendee.
Okay.
And so, I'm not seeing any hand raised, so.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Desiree. Thank you for getting me back on track here.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, I'm really excited about what our conversation today, and that we're going to proceed with this. And so if there is no further announcement, I will adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you so much.
It's so nice to see everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.